We on live. Yeah, right now. The man said he was coming. Your mic is live, okay? Franny, hey, how do I bring the video to the main screen? I did, I hit that, so okay. Yes. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Thank you. Yep, I see it.
Good evening, family. Welcome to Harvest Table Talk. I'm sorry about the brief interruption. Our favorite guy, Earl, is not here today. He's on vacation, and we pray that he's enjoying himself at this time. Today, we have our friend here. She hasn't been here in a little while. Miss Erica, we welcome you back. You know, it's a blessing to have you. And I know you got a little story to tell in your time away from us. You know, one thing I want to say first, let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to be before you today, Father God. And in spite of all the things that might try to disrupt what you have in place for us, Father God, so long as we continue to be obedient and do what you call us to do. Thank you right now, just for the opportunity to just be before you, be in your presence, be in the presence of your kingdom citizens, Father God, to share the good news of the gospel, Father God. And we ask that as we go forward in this table talk, Father God, let nothing be of us, but everything be of you, Father God. Enlighten us in all your ways and your wisdom so we can have understanding for what you have for us. And we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes. So I just want to say I apologize for the disruption that we're starting late right now. And as I said, Brother Earl is away. So I had to try to step in and do his role, which I'm not that good at, but I try to do my best in the many tasks that I have, and I'm thankful to be able to do what I'm able to do. And as I said, we have our sister Erica is here with us today. We have our sister Samantha is here with us. We got our brother and sister here. They're back from their time away, and I'm truly honored and thankful that we are all here in the presence of God. Just have an opportunity to share and what God has for us. And last week we were talking, we were in Proverbs 21. And it was talking about God sees our heart, not just our deeds. You know, and we basically went through most of them. As a matter of fact, we stopped at number four. But I'm going to just briefly go through the first three, what we talked about. And it says, God sees the heart, not just the deeds. And verse 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a water course, wherever he pleases. And then it says in verse 2, a person may think their own way is right, but the Lord weighs the heart. The Lord weighs the heart. And a couple of questions that I asked this last week. It said, number one was, are your motives aligned with God's heart? Or are you just trying to appear good? That's an interesting one. Are your motives aligned with God's heart, or are you just trying to appear good? You know, and we live in a world today, definitely with politicians and different people. You know, you got people, influencers who got a main stage, who try to make themselves good, get people to follow them, to be in line with them. But the key is their motives right? You know, is it just about getting likes, getting followers, getting votes? Or is your heart right? You know, and that's the key. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, I'll share with my wife today, this morning, just how every day we have to battle. Every day we got to wake up and battle ourselves. Not even the world. The world is a whole other thing. We got to battle ourselves, our own flesh, our own desires, our own feelings, our own thoughts. You know, we got to get those things under subjection. And that's a fight we got to have with ourselves every day, outside of the fight that we got to have in the world, trying to influence us and encourage us to do different things and feel certain ways. You know, and that's why it's important for us to, most importantly, line ourselves up with God and line ourselves up with like-minded. Because if you're feeling a certain way and you lined up with that person that's feeling that same way, what you think gonna happen? You're gonna be doing what you feel, you know, and it's not necessarily right. You know, and that's why it's so important that we connect ourselves with the right type of people. And the next one it talks about, and it says here the lesson, you can appear righteous on the outside, but God judges your motives. Application, ask God to purify your intention, seek alignment, bless you. Alignment with his will, not just the approval of people. You know, and that goes back to this TikTok, this influencer thing. You know, just looking for the influences of people, the approval of Then when you don't get that approval, you find out you ain't getting the likes that you want, or you ain't getting the followers you want. Now you're trying to do something different so you can get people to follow you. You know? Erica, you want to read number two?
Yeah. It says, number two is righteousness and justice and sacrifice. In verse three, it says, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice.
Yeah.
The lesson is God values righteous living and fairness over religious performance. Our application is don't just do church. Live right every day in how you treat people and handle responsibility.
Amen. And one of the questions that says, do I live out righteousness and justice daily or just perform religious duties? You know, and if you think about this statement right here, this was something that Jesus dealt with the Sadducees and the Pharisees about, you know, because they were just doing religious duty, but they weren't living righteously. You know, they were easily condemning someone else, but wasn't looking at what they were doing. And sometimes we in the body of Christ, we can be guilty of that. We can forget about where we came from or what. See, the word tells us a sin is a sin is a sin. You know, ain't no little sin, big sin. It's just a sin. You know, and we can get ourselves put in a position and think that just because we're doing this right and that right, don't mean you just had a nasty attitude a little earlier. That's a sin. You know, you just felt a certain way about somebody. That's a sin. That's the same thing if you want to hold something against someone else who don't have everything right. You know, and that's what we got to be careful of. And we got to give truth in love. In love. God ain't looking for, he ain't looking for nobody playing religious or playing religion. He's looking for us to be true to who we are in God. You know, he know we ain't perfect. He know we gonna fall short. Ain't nothing that's going on in our life a surprise to God. Nothing. We can't hide nothing from him. He knows everything. So the key is for us to be honest with ourselves. And that's where the true redemption happens in our lives. That's when real change starts to happen. You know? And that's why, like I said, I was talking to my wife and I said, that's something, her sharing some stuff with me early on in our relationship, you know, helped me, made me better, and made me check myself and begin to look at myself every day when I leave the house or even before I leave the house to get ready for the battle that I'm going to have to face because I know and recognize my own weaknesses. And that's the part that we got to be okay with. We got to be okay with recognizing that there's some areas in us that we need help in. And God knows it. So if we're honest with ourselves and give it up to him, he's going to give us all we need to overcome those things. He's going to give it to us. You know, not to say that you ain't going to have those battles, but he's going to give you the way out. He's going to give you the way out. Number three, it says, pride leads to destruction. Haughty eyes and a proud heart. The unplowed field of the wicked produce sin. The unplowed field of the wicked. Those areas that you don't dig up, that you don't clean up, is going to produce some wickedness in you. You know, and that's why we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to clean out our own closet. We gotta plow those things up. We got to get rid of those things. We got to recognize them for what they are. And that's how we can begin to change. You know? And that's the important part right there. You want to read that lesson? I got you. It says, pride blinds people to their needs for God and others. It says, pride. That's that area again. Pride blinds people of their need for God and others. You know, see, if you don't recognize that you got an issue, God can't help you and nobody else can. You know, because I ain't got no problem. I remember when they told me I had to do anger management. I'm like, what? I got got no anger, man. I ain't got no anger issue. Hey, I said it angry. I ain't got no anger issue. I got an anger issue. You know, when I got into that program and I got into that class and I recognized some things that I needed help in, you know, and that's the part where we got to plow those sinful areas in our life. You know, it's easy to point out the wrong in someone else instead of being able to look at ourselves. And God wants us to look at ourselves. So one of the questions was here, how do I handle my speech? Do I guard my mouth or speak carelessly? That was an area for me. Oh, you holding your mouth. That must have been something. You had to deal with this a lot, huh? All right, talk about it. Tell us about that issue.
It's been happening recently.
let me give y'all a little heads up, because see, she's in an emotional state. We can congratulate her.
I'm pregnant.
So that plays a part, but still, we got to be in control. Go ahead.
I have a new worker in my classroom.
Okay.
And it's very hard when your boss tells you that you have to teach her everything along with the children. Because she already knows what she's supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
So, me being me, I'm very good at, you know, explaining things once, but I'm not going to tell you again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And people usually, they get it the first time, you know, I'll explain it, you know, very, to help them understand it.
Okay.
But she just doesn't do anything. She understands. She'll do it in other classrooms, but not.
So maybe it's you.
So
let me ask you this, because you said something.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get everything the first time?
No.
Oh. So you expect something different from somebody else. See, listen, but
yeah.
this is important, because see, what happens is we forget about how we got to where we were at.
Yeah.
You know, our maturity didn't happen right away. You know, mom told you don't do this, don't do that, and it took a while before you got it.
Yeah.
You know, not that she ain't tell you once, she ain't tell you twice. She might have not just told you three times, but you still chose to do it your way, you know. And this is the part where we got to be able to have patience and understand.
And that's the crazy part, because I'm teaching the children patience at the moment.
Ah.
We have a whole book on it. And I was reading it, and I'm just like, if this book doesn't speak to me, then I don't know what it is. And she's such a nice girl, and she tries her best, but I'm like, I can't do it all by myself. And then I talk to my boss about, you know, it's very hard to work with somebody that's not willing to help me, in a sense. And she's like, you just have to tell her what to do. And I'm like, it's not my job. You know, it's my job to teach the children how to do every step of the way.
What if she's your assignment?
This is the very hard assignment.
That's sometimes that's how God uses those things to help you grow. You just talking about patience. You're trying to teach the children patience. How can you teach someone something you don't have yourself? So that's what he's trying to teach you as well. You know? And sometimes we don't recognize those things. Come on up. And feel free to send your questions in, send your comments in. Please share those with us.
I wanted to touch on a couple of things. First, you can't correct what you want to say. That's exactly what you're talking about. That's the specific episode. That's what God steps in. Sometimes we expect us to
come to the table.
See, this is what happens when you multitask. I got to be in different places.
Amen. It's a lot of fun right now. Amen. So let's go to number four. Diligence leads to abundance. And in verse 5 it says, the plan of the diligent leads to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. And it says, success is built by faithful, patient effort, not shortcuts. It gets back to that patience again, you know. And see, we want everything when we want it, how we want it, you know. And we go through society. It's funny because we were in here today. And one of the rooms don't have no air conditioning right now. The air conditioning is down, right? And they're like, it's hot. I said, look, in the 70s, we ain't have no air conditioning. You know, you had to open up the window and put a fan in the window and get the air that you got. That was it. And I said, so we've grown up in society that we're used to that comfortability. You know, we're used to having the things that we wanted the way we wanted. You know, we don't want that. We don't want to have to put a fan in the window, wait for the air to blow. No, we want that air conditioning. We want things right now. You know, we want the shortcut. We want the fast way. And in getting it that way, it don't build up no endurance. It don't build up no patience. It don't build up no understanding. You know, and this is what you get in God's word. You know, I can remember reading the word as a young Christian, as a young believer, and not really getting anything out of it. Like, I mean, like, it was like mumble jumble to me. And now I can read it and look at it. Who can relate to that? You know, and now I read it, and sometimes I hear someone say something, and I mean, it comes alive to me. I mean, it speaks directly to me. And not only that, I can open up the same passage of scripture another time and get something totally different. Something new, you know. And that's the revelation of God. And that comes from us going through some new things, experiencing some new things, and we have a different perspective of what we read or what we experienced. You know, and that's why God wants us to be patient in this walk that we have with Him. You know, I read this morning, it was a scripture, a passage of scripture in prayer, and it said, I'm going to turn to it right now. And it said, and it comes from Mark 11:24. And it says, for this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance to God's will, listen to this, in accordance to God's will, believe with confident trust that you will receive them and they will be given to you. Now, a big part of that, it says, according to God's will. You know, sometimes you be asking for stuff. It might be good, but it ain't God. You know, and when it don't happen, we want to be mad at God and disappointed at God. But it's not for us. Maybe not right now. You know, and that's the part where that patient endurance has to kick in. You know, and know that if it's for you, it's going to happen. You know, now it's up to us to do our part, to be in preparation. He said, be ready before it's your time, not when it's your time. You know, so if you're in preparation, when it comes, you're ready for it. But if you're not, you know, too often we want some stuff that we ain't ready for. We want that car, but we ain't got the money to pay for it. We want that car, that nice car that everybody else driving, but we ain't got that $400 a month to pay for it. You know, and then when the payments start kicking in, now we mad and want to point fingers at everybody else. Oh, you laughing. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man. So it says, success is built by faithful, patient effort, not shortcuts. And it says here, be consistent in your planning and work ethic. Don't chase get-rich-quick schemes. Don't chase get-rich-quick schemes. We got to be patient in our walk. We got to be patient. Number five, the way of the wicked is a dead end. The way of the wicked is a dead end. Verse 7, it says, the minds of the wicked will drag them away, for they refuse to do what is right. They refuse to do what is right. You know, in that scripture, I can relate. You know, because when I was young, I was doing some things that wasn't good. You know, and I continued to walk in that same way, to the point where God had to set me aside. He had to sit me down. And I thank God he just set me down. You know, because there's many others who I know who didn't make it out. You know, and so he always gives us a chance. You think about for yourself the time that you knew you wasn't doing the right thing. You knew you wasn't doing the right thing. And you had to go through some trials and tribulations, and you got through them, and you went right back to doing what you wanted to do. And then when you had to face those same type of consequences, or maybe even worse, then you make a decision that's why I'm here, because I kept bumping my head over and over again, trying to do things the way I wanted to do it. And God revealed to me, there's another way, young man. There's another way. You know, he kept saying, I kept giving you a different choice every time, but you kept making the choice that you wanted to make. And I bet each and every one of us can reflect on those times that we had to go through those hardships where you had a different choice. You might not recognize it as a choice at the time because it wasn't what you wanted, but it was a choice. You know, and that's one thing about God. He always gives us a way out. Always. Always gives us a way out. This says, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. None. None. Here it is, family. None. None of it, none of your plans, none of your schemes, none of your ideas are going to succeed against God's will. It's not going to succeed. See, the enemy will give us some temporal success, some temporal feel good, you know, but it becomes meaningless. Solomon reminds us of this man who had everything in the world. There was nothing that he could have, that he didn't have, that he wanted. And he said it all became meaningless without his relationship with God. Everything. And it says here, wickedness leads to self-destruction, and no plan can override God's will. No plan can override God's will. And it says, number six, better to dwell in peace than in strife. Better to dwell in peace than in strife. Verse 9 and 19, it says, and it's repeated in 19. It says, listen to this. Definitely those who are married in relationships. It says, better to live in a corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. And listen, don't take it personal, ladies, because it's not just about you. Because men can act like some women sometimes, too. We can be quarrelsome, too, as well. So, and those who've been in relationships, you know how it is to be in a situation where it's very uncomfortable to be in that space with someone who's always bickering, always creating an issue. You look for a space to hide. You look for a space to just find your peace. And God is trying to remind us, like, look, you don't have to have that. And it says, constant conflict destroys peace in the home. Constant conflict destroys peace in the home. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a household where we had a little strife in the household. You know? And it wasn't peaceful. It created some issues. You know? And that's why it's important that in our relationship with God, that we look for opportunities to not allow those things to become more than what they should be. It's very important. It's very important for us as families. And it says here, cultivate gentleness and forgiveness in relationships. Peace is more valuable than winning arguments. Peace is more valuable than winning arguments. And too often, we find ourselves getting caught up wanting to be right, wanting to make how we feel the right way. And that's not always true. Come on up to the mic. Share that thought. You know, I shared with someone, you don't have to defend truth. Truth defends itself. You know, truth defends itself. When you speak in truth, regardless, like you said, some people just don't want to receive that truth. You know, people just prefer to just feel the way they feel, and that's it, regardless if they know it's true or not. That's just how they feel, and they just want to have that. And sometimes you gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. If you know you're right, you know you ain't do nothing, let it go. Let them have it. If they want to run with that, let them run with that. You know, I was sharing with somebody just the other day that same thing. And he said the same thing you said. He had so much peace. He said, there was a time that I would quarrel about this and want to show them, I'm right, I did this. And he was like, there was a peace in me that just show itself. You don't have to defend truth. Truth will show itself. It's going to reveal itself. You know? And that's important. And it says here, number 7, in verse 13, whoever shuts their eyes to the cries of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. That's heavy. That's heavy. Because who wants to be in that position where you're crying out for help and it's not answered? You know, and see, we get so caught up in ourselves that we don't hear the cries of everybody else. You know, we dealing with society right now. If it's not affecting me, it's not my problem. You know, and this is nothing new. This is nothing new in the world. You know, there's things happening in other countries and all over some of the same things that we're starting to see manifest itself here in the United States. But we ain't say nothing when it was happening then. And right now, we're beginning not to say nothing now. You know, and slowly but surely, it's going to start. When it start happening to you and it start affecting you, then you're going to want somebody to cry out for you and look for somebody to help you out. And nobody answer because you wasn't speaking up. See, the more we speak up, the more people will be able to cry out for us. But if we're quiet, the world gets quiet as well. You know? And God wants to cry out for you. He's crying out for you. But if you ain't crying out for him, he can't answer. He can't answer if we're not crying out for God, for people of God. And we're missing the opportunity. We allow things to happen. You know, we was talking earlier today. Right now, we see it happen right now. ICE going in and getting the Mexicans and the Spanish Americans, you know, Haitians right now. It's affecting them. But we got to realize, they said birthright citizenship. They got the right to deport you. And you're going to have to fight to stay. So, for any of us, because in all reality, we all birthright citizens. Because if they go back, none of us wasn't originally here. We came here through other means. So, if they choose to, they can create those type of opportunities, those situations for us. You know, and if you don't have the lawyers and you don't have the people fighting for you or advocating for you, you can get lost in the system. You can get lost in the system just that easy. And this is what we're seeing happening in society. And the more quiet we are, the more it's going to continue to perpetuate and perpetuate, go from one level to the next level to the next level. And as the children of God, we can't be surprised. The world tells us these times are coming. It tells us. And that's so important for us nowadays because the world tells us there's going to be time where the children of God are going to step up. That's going to come. That's a part of this phase that's coming. You know, where the voice of God is going to be loud and it's going to be undenied. Now the question is, do you want to be a part of it? You know that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be a part of it. I might have to see for a while. I'll sit with him over there. But it's important for us to really grab hold of that because if we don't, we're going to get caught up in what's happening in the world and not be bothered not affecting us directly. And it says here, it says, compassion and generosity are central to true wisdom. Be responsive to the needs of others. God rewards those who give with a sincere heart. See, we got to make sure what we're doing with a sincere heart. We're doing out of love, not for what we can get out of it. We're doing it because we want to see people better. We want to make things better. One of the questions here was, it said, am I generous towards the poor or those in need? Am I generous towards the poor or those in need? You know, I shared the story before with my wife. My wife always, anytime we're driving and she sees somebody in need, she has to stop and make sure she gives them what she has in her pocket. She makes sure, because she shared her brother was in that situation one time. And every time she thought about that, she always reflected on her brother and never wanted to see somebody go through that. Because we never know what somebody's story is. You know, we don't know why they're in that situation. And what we can give, if we don't even know, it can change that person's life. So it's important for us that if we have it to give out of our lack. Give out your lack. You know, in reality, it's not a lack. God won't cover you. Come on up.
Those who did not have. And we never know when those are those people that Jesus sits here to test us. So like friends, I do the same thing. I work at the library a lot with my students during the summertime and this lady, and I could tell that she was displaced. And so I just walked her by, you know, who has been doing that with me a lot in the last few years. I walked over to her and I said,
you know, we have to take care of the poor, the elderly, the widows. Those are the commandments. Those are the things that God has called us to, the prisoners. Those are the commandments, you know. And see, the world, we live in a society where makes them outcasts. You know, the last one's brought up, you know, once your parents get a certain age, you put them in a place where somebody else take care of them. It's no longer your responsibility, you know. And we miss the opportunity to give back to what they've given us. You know, we miss that so much, you know, and we have to get back to that. And that's where the reward comes from. And here the next one says, God rewards justice and humility. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to the evildoers. Verse 15. It says, justice restores order and brings joy to those who love God. It says, stand up for what is right. Be a voice for the voiceless. You know, and we just talked about this. We're living in a time right now where we have to be the voice for those who are sick, shut in, those who are being locked down in prison right now just because they came here for a new life, a new opportunity to live better, to do better. And we're a society that are not being, because it's not happening to us, we're not willing to help them out. You know, and God is calling us to do it differently. He's asking us to do it differently. You know, and that's where we're at right now. And it says here, Solomon always back to his words, says, watch your words and your temper. Watch your words and your temper. Verse 23 says, those who guard their mouths, and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. It says, self-control in speech protects your future. Self-control in speech protects your future. You know, there was a time for me where I didn't protect my speech. Where I just spoke how I felt and didn't matter, I would affect it anybody else, you know. And I learned a whole lot of lessons through that. I got into a whole lot of trouble because of it too, you know. And sometimes we go through some things for us to learn some things, you know. And some things you don't have to go through to learn from. Yeah. You know, you wasn't here in the beginning. You got another comment. Come on up. You wasn't here in the beginning. I was sharing how I was telling my wife this morning how much she has helped me with dealing with myself and battling with my daily self as far as having to die to myself.
Yes.
You know, because we have battles outside of the world. Those first battles are with ourselves and not the world. Okay.
I just wanted to add on to what Pastor
also scripture talks about it's not what goes into your body, it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. So those thoughts that you're thinking, when you just open your mouth and you don't think about it, you can't take words back. You can't correct it. Once it goes out of the offense, it's there. It's harder to run a person back. And the scriptures tell us that. It's harder to run a person to defend it back.
You know, and that's why it's so important. The word tells us, be slow to speak, quick to listen. You know, and I had to learn that. I learned that in anger management. I learned that in anger management because I was so quick to speak. I was so quick to speak and say how I felt. And I wanted to be right, and I wanted to, you know, just share my opinion. You know, and it got me into a lot of trouble. You know, and I realized it was really coming from a place of in myself of a lot of uncertainty, of a lot of feelings of being maybe not represented, right? You know, just dealing with myself. You know, a long time ago, my mom, I was one of those kids. I was the oldest of my brothers. And I used to come upstairs crying because I had this guy who used to pick on me all the time. He was a big guy. I was always a little guy, you know. And it was one day we had a softball game outside in the neighborhood. It was a neighborhood softball game and everybody out there. And this guy was picking on me. And I came upstairs and I was crying to my mom. And this wasn't the first time, you know. It might not even been the second time. It's probably quite a few times. And she took me outside. I thought she was going to protect me. But she took me outside in front of everybody during the baseball game in the neighborhood and told me, I'm tired of you coming upstairs saying this guy bothered you. And she told me, if you don't beat his butt, I'm going to beat your butt. And I was more afraid of my mama than I was afraid of that guy.
Amen.
And I don't think I stopped fighting since then. I was always defending myself. And a part of it, I really wasn't even myself. It was my stature. It was my stature. It was my position. And we find ourselves defending and fighting for our position. We got to be careful. Because when you're standing on truth, you ain't got to fight for that. God got you. When you're standing on righteousness and truth, you don't have to fight for that. He has you. You already won because you're standing on his truth. That's that other person's loss. Come on, we got to. That's so important. And those things that you learn, I learned in anger management. That's before I got to work. You know, because what happens is you have to recognize those things that are triggers. And that's what they taught us in anger management, to be able to recognize those things that are triggers. And that's what the word is talking about. Those sinful thoughts, those sinful feelings, those are triggers that cause you to feel a certain way, and then you respond based on how you feel and what you think, and they don't necessarily make it right. You know, and that's the part where we gotta give it to God and allow him to fix it for us.
This is the whole purpose of our might even sound like you're
Right.
You feel more powerful, more present. You know, the young man that's working with me in a part-time job, he's 27 years old. He's talking all this stuff. I'm driving this. Talking all this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. So I told him, I said, I'm going to nickname you. He said, what? 27. I said, because you got time to find out. You can't do all that. It sounds great now, but you're 27. You thought you could do this, you could do that. And some of the stuff he's talking about, you, as an adult, you can't get away with it. Because that's the mindset of a young man. And, you know, until you grow up, see, one of the things about the Word of God, it has to be called sanctification. It cleanses you from the inside out. You start learning, you start studying, digging in. What it does, it cleanses you, it takes away your perception, how you see the things that they're supposed to be from God's
perspective. Can I ask you some passing words?
Yeah.
What do you think about, had you asked them, write out the plan that you said you was going to do and how you was going to achieve it and to see if you could achieve it in a certain time frame?
I gave you some words about that. I gave you some words on that line, right? I said, but when it happens, I'm not going to say no more because, you know, you think you know. It was like 18 miles of driving. He was just gone. And I'm driving. He's talking behind me. And it reminds me of me.
I was about to say, don't it remind you of somebody?
I said, okay, 27.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, sir. So,
I'm scared because I've missed so many, and I've told you I'm going to shoot, because in a sense I'm scared to hear the truth of my own and what it needs to be.
You know, early on, come on. Yeah, you just said that, yeah. You know, you said that to me earlier this week, you know, and this is the thing. God gives us revelation. And this was something we talked about early on, quite some months ago, about how our actions have long-term repercussions beyond ourselves. You know, and we don't think, we're not really being conscious or cognizant of how our actions are going to affect our presence.
present and our future. You know, and this is what God wants us to be real conscious of, how our actions and our present state could affect the future. You know, and we take relationships and being in relation with one another and not really think about the consequences of those things. You know, because when we're in relations, an opportunity can happen for a child to be born. And if we're not ready, and if we're not prepared for those things, there's repercussions that can happen. Yes, if we get God, yes, God, that's a part of nature. God created you to be that incubator. Those are things, you know. However, what the part that we have to be conscious of, the maturity level. Are we ready for the responsibility? You know, and God has put in place ways for us to make a choice. Goes back to the choices that we make, that we don't have to deal with those consequences when we're not ready. However, when it happens, God still gives us a way to overcome those things. You know, so you're going to be a great mom. You are a great mom. That's not going to change. So don't allow you to beat yourself up or to question it, because the same mom you were with Tristan, you will be with your other son, you know, and she's having a boy. You know, you will be with your other son, so don't beat yourself up. Don't start doubting yourself. Just know who God created you to be. That mom that you are with Tristan is that same mom you're going to be with your other son.
Y'all here.
Keep coming as much as you can. And keep digging in as much as you can. Keep studying as much as you can. Because I'm telling you, it's going to be worse. And they will need what you're learning. They will come to say, they come to you instead of making stuff. They see you glowing the power of North down in life. You know, two little boys walking around. And it's like, how did you do that? You can tell them, you're just going to
praise God. You know.
Keep coming.
That's right.
Right. keep pressing. You know, it is so important. You know, he said something about your feelings and your expressions, how it affects your behavior. If you don't think you questioning you having that child is not affecting you, just love that was inside of you. You got a great gift that so many other people would desire to have. You know, who you gonna be? So we're about to close, family, and people ain't get to see us. To see, I ain't do it right for some reason. They can hear us, but they can't see us. You know, but I want y'all to write down some questions. If you got the paper for next week, it says, look at these questions. The first question, do I value a good name more than material success? Do I value a good name more than material success? Number two, how am I training and modeling godliness for the next generation? That's for you. How am I training and modeling godliness for the next generation? Number three, am I living within my means? Or am I enslaved to debt? Look at that. Am I living within my means or am I enslaved to debt? Number four, do I speak and act with grace, humility, and honor? And number five, how am I investing in the poor and the vulnerable? How am I investing? So think about these questions. So when we come back next week, we can dive into this next chapter of scripture, Proverbs 22. And for those out there, we still going fishing on the 26th. If you want to be a part of it, please let me know. Come see me. We're going fishing on the 26th. All right. Sunday service, come be a part of it. Pastor Bruce is closing out on the Survivor's Guide, End Time Survivor's Guide. Come be a part of that. Get ready for this next chapter that he's very dig into. Please be a part of that.
And first of all, for all those who are coming to class, for all those that are coming to the class on Saturday, it's going to be magnetic. First off, assessment, we're going to talk about strength and weaknesses and how the spirit, soul, and body connect together to your focus on God's word. I mean, this is something everybody should have an opportunity to recognize how God created you. Your spirit told me this Saturday at 11 o'clock. We'll work with it. Okay? I'm going to hand out something. I want to do your personality assessment on the chart, but we'll see if we have time. That I have to read your chart to tell you personality assessment. Okay? So prepare to enjoy yourself. So come back Saturday, because I'm going to show you the chart.
All right, family, with that, we're going to close. And God placed on your heart those out there to sow a seed. Please sow a seed. If you're here, you want to sow a seed, you can come lay it on the altar. As we say, the work doesn't cost, but ministry does cost. So if God placed on your heart to sow a seed, please do so. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday. God bless. Thank you, family.
It's about a pour out there.
I know. It's about
to.
Can you grab those other mics for me? Did he come yet?
Yeah, he's outside.
That's where Tristan's at. I figured that's. Yeah. See, and look, you was talking about he ain't gonna make it. He gonna be late. Look, he surprised you.
Well, because he usually goes to the
river. Oh, that's what happened. It wasn't
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I put it in Laura's box. Goodness, Rob. Running hard, huh?